It's time for the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Do we live together? Reaching out with hope. Encouraging one another. Each step along the road. You and I can make everything a little better. Do we live together?
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where every weekend we're here and we're doing life together, and we're really glad that you've joined us once again.
Hello. Happy Mother's Day, Dr. Linda. Happy Mother's Day weekend.
Thank you. We should make it an entire weekend, don't you think?
Really should. It should start on Friday at noon.
That's right.
And go all the way into Monday.
Monday at midnight. Well, happy Mother's Day to your wife, who
that's
has a
right.
relatively new baby.
Again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's got to be exciting when you have a new one.
Just when you think you're in a routine, let's hit the reset button and start all over.
Well, listen, Chris, I do want to say at the top of this show, we are going to talk about the characteristics that make a great mom.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to focus on becoming a great mom and what do we know about what makes a great mom. I do know that this weekend is tough.
Right.
For a number of people who are listening. The first group is the women desperately wanting to be a mom, but because of infertility, nothing is happening on that front. And I was in this position for 7 years. And so I know that this is a tough weekend for you, especially if you're a churchgoer and you go into church. And sometimes in churches, they have the mom stand up or they
right.
give them a flower. And it does make you feel bad when this is something that you want to have happen so much.
What is the first thing that you feel? Is it anger or hurt?
You feel left out and just feel really sad, almost depressed. Because the very thing that you want isn't happening. And then we have a lot of women and men who are going through the weekend and their moms have died.
Right.
And they may be in grief. Maybe it's been a recent death. I know a friend of mine just lost a mother and her wedding is in 3 weeks.
Mm.
And just the idea of walking down the aisle without her mom is going to be a really tough thing.
Right. I remember when my grandmother died. It was tough on my dad next Mother's Day. He wasn't terribly emotional, but he said, you know, this sort of stinks.
You definitely think about it. And for some people, it's a tough day.
Right.
The last group that I want to mention are those of you who are listening who may not have had the greatest mom.
Mm-hmm.
You have a difficult mom, maybe a mom who is controlling or critical or maybe even abusive in the worst case. And this is a tough day for you. And what I want to tell you about that is the scripture is really clear about what we do with our mothers and fathers.
Mm.
It says that we have to honor our mother and father.
You've written a book along these lines.
I have.
And it's, I love my mother, dot, 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 but.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really to help anybody who has a mother-daughter relationship is focused on daughters and moms.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really to help you strengthen that relationship, navigate that relationship. There is a chapter in that book that talks about what if I had a really difficult, difficult mom?
Right.
And in the very least, if we're looking at something that you can do in terms of honor, you can honor her for giving you life. There are these cards that they have at the store that are blank. They have really pretty fronts on them, a picture or something. And you can write in, Mom, I'm honoring you this weekend for giving me life, for giving me a chance to be in this world or something to that effect. And while that maybe seems a little bit difficult even to do that, the scripture doesn't say you have to honor your mom if she was a good mom.
It just says to do it.
Yeah. We have to find something. In the worst case scenario, honor her for giving you life, choosing to have you and to give life to you, or you wouldn't be here today.
Right.
So that's always something we can find. And then if there's some small memory, some little thing that you can pick up that you remember that's positive, take that story and talk about that story and do something to honor her. It might be a tough weekend for you, but there's something we can always learn. One of the things we can learn if we had a difficult mom is how to be a great mom ourselves and to make the changes from the things that maybe were not so great in our life in terms of giving something to our children that can be better.
Well, today on the program, we're talking about the characteristics that make a great mom. And Dr. Linda, you say there are 10 of those.
We're going to dissect this a little bit today, and we're going to look at 10 characteristics that make a mom great.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to jump right in, one of the first ones is a mom who focuses on the positives of their children. This doesn't mean that you never see a problem. Have you ever met moms who don't think there's anything wrong with their kids?
Yes.
It's not what we're talking about because
right.
we want to be realistic. And we know that our kids all have issues and we're not perfect. Certainly we don't make perfect children, especially when we're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But the mom who is positive most of the time is a mom who's really going to be a good mom. The bad things that happen to us in our lives when we have a bad experience as a kid, or maybe we have a problem or we don't handle something very well. Here's what's interesting, Chris. People remember if they were yelled at or screamed at. They remember these things years later in therapy. They come in and they say, I'll never forget.
The reverse of that, I'm sure you can speak to this. My mother still feels guilty for things that she said to me when I was a young kid. I stripped all the bark off of a tree in the front yard one time. I was probably 8 years old, and we saw them this weekend. She mentioned that again. She says, I'll just never forget how heartbroken you were after I said what I said. She said it was just a tree. Mom, that was like 30-some years ago.
Yeah, well, I have a memory of that one time when my son did something, and I screamed at him, and I realized that I was way over the edge, and I had lost control because I saw the look of fear in his eyes.
Right.
And I remember seeing that. I remember feeling so guilty about doing that.
I wrote a letter after she scolded me for that. And
you did.
In the letter, I said, if it's better, I'll just move away.
Which played into her guilt even more.
It's terrible. She still feels terrible. Yes.
So you left scars on her rather than her leaving scars on you.
Right.
Look and go both ways.
Left scars on the tree and her.
Yeah, that's right. When we look at the way we're impacted by positives, the research says it takes 5 positives for every negative that you say.
Oh, wow.
Think about that. If you are constantly saying, stop that, don't do that, mm-hmm. why did you do this, knock it off, and you're not giving positives, then you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Think of it as the 5-to-1 rule, that for every negative, have 5 positives. Be the cheerleader of your child.
As a youngster, he played football, midget league football or whatever they call it these days. His mom would stand up in the bleachers. You'd have a whole football field full of young kids and all the moms were screaming, but you could always hear her, bust him, Luke, bust him. And to this day, we still laugh and talk about how she would stand up and say, bust him, Luke. You could hear her cheering for him over the entire crowd. And I'm sure not only he remembers that, but we do too.
Yeah. On the contrary, that I remember a child in one of the schools that my kids went to, a dad who was just screaming mm-hmm. negatives at his mm-hmm. son on the basketball court. And it was so damaging. And I felt so bad for that kid.
We knew what bust 'em Luke meant.
Yeah, that's right.
He was cheering him on for sure.
Let's get one more in before the break. Let's do the second characteristic is moms who motivate and really push their kids to use their skills and their talents. And don't let them quit. A mom who doesn't let them quit just because the going gets tough.
Mm-hmm.
The best example I have of that is piano lessons.
Right.
And I used to say to my kids, I've never heard a child say, oh, I wish I would have never taken piano.
True.
But I have heard a lot of kids say, I wish I would have never quit.
Right.
Taking piano. We had the rule in our house that if you start something, mm-hmm. you need to finish it. And I think that's good because kids a lot of times will get a little bit lazy or they'll get distressed. And when they get distressed, we need to let them feel that distress and then push them through it, not have them escape it or avoid it, but help them work through their emotions. And when we see their talent, we really need to help them develop it. This means being realistic about their talent. We don't all have an MBA star. We don't all have the next virtuoso pianist. We need to be very realistic about that. When we come back, we're going to listen to a couple of people that we talked to on the street and see what their take on this is, and we'll keep going on our list of 10 characteristics that make a great mom. Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Happy Mother's Day weekend, and today we're discussing 10 characteristics of being a great mother. And before we went to the break, we were discussing the mom who encourages her son or daughter during the good times and the bad times. We went to the streets this week. Let's see what this person had to say.
I love my mom because she encourages me to be the best that I can be. She's always there for me in trials and in victories. She's also my biggest fan.
There we go.
Oh, there it is. She's that mother in the stands.
Bust him, Luke. Bust him, Luke. That's right.
That's great. But you got to have your mom in your corner or right. It's going to be a hard life, right? Let's talk about the third characteristic. So these are moms who hold their ground. Now, this is where you have to be a little bit of a tough mom. Hold your ground, knowing that what you're doing is going to be good for your kid. This is the mom who doesn't waver. The mom is reasonable and flexible, but in terms of when you know something is right, or you know that you have to hold the line on something, this is the mom who doesn't try to be the child's friend at the time, but is really going to hold the discipline. Sometimes that's hard for moms. We like to give in at times and be the softie sometimes and say, well, let me think about that. Hmm. But moms need to be consistent and persistent.
This is where she would preface it with, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you.
We've heard that a few times, right? And sometimes what happens is it's easy for the mom to say, well, wait till your father comes home. But really, we need to have moms have the authority behind them as well and not wait till dad necessarily comes home. And when two people marry, they have very different ideas about how to parent.
Right.
This requires getting in sync with your partner and really having the same consistent rules so that the kids can't split you and work you against each other, especially with all the families that we have that are listening with divorces.
True.
Because you can go to the biological mother and then go to the stepmom, and you can get two very different stories. So this is where you have to be on sync. And I think a big part of that as a mom myself is that I have to monitor my own feelings, because I know sometimes it's hard to be tough. I remember looking at my kids at times and going, oh, I can see how bad this feels for them, and I hate the way they're feeling, but I know I need to let them work through that.
But looking back, I'm sure you can say the same thing. The discipline was worth it.
Yeah.
Because I look back and appreciate the fact that there were things that I did not get by with. And it's probably better.
And don't you kind of know that as a kid?
Yeah.
You kind of know if you can work them and get through it. So you're really not helping them when you do that. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about is a style in parenting called an authoritative style. It's different than authoritarian. The one that is the real, you will do it or else. We don't necessarily want that style, but we want someone who's responsive to our child's needs, but will listen to them, but then will also hold the line.
Right.
We certainly don't want to be too permissive with kids, because we know that when parents are too permissive and they're uninvolved, that that creates problems in children's lives.
There's a thin line between being a disciplinarian, but then also explaining to your child why you're doing this and giving them an explanation.
I think the explanations do help. I remember there was something that my parents did. I won't go into the specifics of it, but they gave me an explanation for it. And my whole life, I remember thinking, okay, that's why. They really had good thinking on that. And so I was much more willing to be obedient to it because I understood it and didn't agree with what they said, but I understood their thinking. To just highlight this point before we move on, here's an adult daughter. So no, my mom isn't my best friend, but that doesn't mean that we don't have an awesome relationship, and it doesn't make her a bad mother. In fact, she is the best. I wouldn't trade all of those things. She has yelled at me, grounded me, or been disappointed in me. I wouldn't trade any of those for anything. Because of her, I know right from wrong.
Wow.
I know how to respect people. I know when to speak my mind and when to keep quiet. I know my mom has done everything in her power to make me the most successful and happy human being. And that is exactly what she has done, not by being my best friend, but by being my mom.
Oh, wow. See, the mom was right on course the entire time. That was her job.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like she completed her job perfectly.
Number four is related to this. Moms who are consistent, predictable, and present. The present part is really important. You have to be present in order to help your kids, because you can't teach them when you're not there. And there's a lot of life lessons that you teach.
Do you mean physically?
I mean physically. Being present, I think there's a way to be there. There's just no substitute for that.
Right.
So we went out and we listened to a mom, and this is what she said about that.
My mom has been my one constant. In a life of constant change, she's been the one constant that has been there for me. No matter what, no matter when everybody else has let me down, she's always been there. And she's taught me how to be there for other people that way.
Wow, that's really great, isn't it? The consistency of the mom being there. There is something that we talk a lot about in psychology, Chris, called attachment. And it's really important in terms of creating a great kid. when kids are little, they have to feel very secure. And if they don't have what we call a secure attachment, they develop a lot of problems in their life.
Wow.
And so the way you get a secure attachment, in part, is that you know your parent's going to be there. You know that if you have a problem, somebody's going to be there to talk to you, or someone's going to listen to you, or if you have an issue after school, that there's going to be some way you can reach your parent and talk to your parent. That is super important, and that daughter just said it right there.
One thing we heard in that soundbite and then the quote that you read a minute ago, in both instances, that mother taught her daughter how to be a good mother.
Yeah.
And it sounds to me like these women are now being good mothers.
Yeah, it's just generational.
Right, it goes from one to the next.
Here's a great comment that somebody said, love is so much more than making your kids happy. Love is so much more than giving gifts or hugs. Love is an attitude, a way of life, and something that is long-term and far-reaching. I love my kids because they're my kids. Nothing they do will change that. I'd love them no matter what. But does that mean I let them do whatever they want to do to their own detriment? No.
No. It sounds a little like Jesus, yeah. If you think about it.
Yeah.
He loves us because we are us.
Yeah.
And she loves her kids because they are her kids.
That's that unconditional love that
right.
We're talking about. Let's look at the fifth one. Moms have open communication and they're attuned to the needs of their children. Attunement is a concept, it's kind of a shrinky concept, but it just means that you're in touch with, you understand what the needs of your children are, and children want their parents to be in tune with where they are. They want them to understand what their emotions are, they want them to understand what's going on in their life, mm-hmm. And there's just no way you can do that unless you're listening, you're communicating, and you're understanding.
If there's an insecure attachment type thing going on here, that can play out later in life and be a problem. What type of problem
would
we
see? Well, then you get in relationships with people where you're not trusting, you're not really mm-hmm. sure. You kind of replay the dynamics of what you have in the past. Let's move on to number six. Moms create a safe home. Now, we don't always think about that, but a mom needs to really work on her temper. And to make sure that she's not screaming and yelling like what I was saying, I was right. concerned about the safety of my child in terms of his emotional safety when I was screaming at him that one time. Whenever we make a mistake as moms, we need to apologize and to say that we were wrong. A lot of times we talk about dads being physical and aggressive with kids, but moms can shake babies and moms can yank a child by the arm and moms can hit kids just as much. So we need to be really careful that we're not frightening our kids, that we have control over our own emotions when we're dealing with our kids. And certainly we need to be careful with what we say about our spouse. And then the other thing is, in terms of safety, when you give kids the silent treatment mm-hmm. and you're really not speaking, you're mad, kids feel that. They feel the chill of that, and they know that something is really wrong, and that makes them feel unsafe because nobody's talking about it. Mm-hmm. So they don't know what to do with that. We're not focusing so much on children with divorce, but if you're a child of divorce and you're hearing fighting over visitation or custody or issues about the house, if you're pitting one parent against the other parent, this creates an unsafe environment. We just really need to be careful that we're being respectful, we're being civil, and we're creating an environment of safety.
The silent treatment's hard enough on a couple.
Yeah.
Imagine how it feels if you do that to your kids as well.
It's scary.
Right. Well, on this Mother's Day weekend, we are talking about 10 characteristics of being a great mother. And if you'd like to learn more about the relationship with your mom, you can read that in Dr. Linda's book, I Love My Mother, But. We'll be back on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Hey, it's Dr. Linda Mental from the Dr. Linda Mental Radio Show, here on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. on Faith Radio. Join the conversation for our shows by commenting on questions and show topics posted on social media. Go to myfaithradio.com, click on my show, and leave your comments in the comment box. Or click on one of the social media icons and leave your comments on Facebook or Twitter. We'd love to hear from you.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Happy Mother's Day weekend. Today, 10 characteristics of a great mother. And as always, you can find out all of this information, if you forget like I would, on Dr. Linda's blog at myfaithradio.com. There's always a blog related to this weekend's show.
Yeah, I really would encourage people to go to that page, because sometimes you just forget some of the information and you can look at it and go, oh yeah, I remember they talked about
right.
that. And you can listen to the show again. It's archived, so you can listen to it, send it to your friends as well. So that's really great.
I forget what we talked about at the end of the show, at the beginning of the show.
That's right. So you really need to listen to the
that's
show
right.
again. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're on number 7. This one is one that is near and dear to me because this is what I do with people in therapy. Great moms are moms who separate their issues from the issues of their kids. They're figuring out what the needs are of their kids rather than responding out of their own needs. Here's where you see this, Chris. You'll see this a lot of times when a mom wants their child to be something. Like,
yes.
I want that child to be a great dancer. Or I want that child to be the best whatever. And the child isn't really that excited about it. But it's the mom pushing that because it's her agenda rather than the kids.
The best example I can think of right now is a mom who is pushing her kid into theater.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, mom, you probably really wanted to be
yeah.
an actress, didn't you, mom?
Be conscious of that. Think about their interests, not your own interests, and make sure that you separate those issues for yourself. Number 8, a great mom has a great marriage. Strong
right.
marriages make great moms. When mom is happy with dad, then things go better with the kids. Let's just leave it at that, because we'll do a show on that.
If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And the 9th one is moms who are great moms show a lot of comfort to their kids. They're very nurturing to their children when they're in pain or when they're hurt. They need to have somebody, and they show a lot of grace.
Mm-hmm.
Moms are the ones a lot of times who are saying, I get it. I know why you're upset. I've made mistakes too. It's going to be okay.
You know, we've talked about a mom and a daughter a lot today, but we can also look at the mom and the son.
Absolutely.
Here's a man who said his mom made him who he is today.
I love my mom because she's always there for me. She's pushed me to be the man that I am today.
Oh, that's always something yeah. that we want to hear, is that our moms were behind us and pushing us. And you hear that from a lot of great men
right.
and a lot of great women who say, it was my mom who really stood there for me. Well, let's go to number 10, because I think this is the most important thing of being a great mom, and that is pray. A mom who prays, a mom who is constantly praying for her spouse, for her children, for her family in general, pray, 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 because prayer really works. And I wanted to mention a little story before we go into a couple of scriptures I wanted to give here. I'll never forget, I was touring with Ruth Graham. Now, it's Ruth Graham, the daughter, not Ruth Graham, the wife.
Right.
And she tells this great story about how she has made a lot of mistakes in her life, and she is very transparent about those mistakes that she has made. When I was on tour with her, she would talk about her failed marriages and how she just kind of went her own way. And she would call up her daddy, who's Billy Graham.
Right.
So you can imagine calling up daddy and being a little defiant with him and listening to his advice, but really not taking his advice. And she tells this story about how she had just messed up completely and her life was in a really bad place. And she called her dad, and she was expecting to hear sort of the, well, I told you so kind of message, because she knew she had made so many mistakes and not listened to a word that he or her mother had said. And the very thing that he said to her was, she was crying, she was upset, and she was having all these terrible things that she had done and life had worked out in a horrible way. And her dad said, Ruth, just come on home.
Oh, wow.
Come on home. And she remembers winding around into her driveway and her dad standing out there with his arms open wide. And she said it reminded her of the biblical story of the prodigal son, where the dad was just there, had his arms open wide, and hugged her and said, just come home. What a great story of a dad who is obviously an incredible dad in that regard. We need to keep that grace and that comfort always going and love our kids unconditionally, as we said. There is a book that I have called Praying Our Scriptures for Your Kids. And it's somebody that I know, Jody Burton, who wrote this book a number of years ago. And I've loved this book, because what she does is she talks in this book about praying different scriptures over your kids. She's got it broken up into different chapters where she has scriptures to pray over your child's character, then praying for your child's safety, praying for your child's relationship and for your child's future. I'm going to do a couple of them. And my kids' names are Matt and Katie.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to add one of their names in there when I do it. Here's one that she has. And she's got prayers in this book. You can get the book, and she's got scripture verses with it. And you insert your child's name. So there's a blank space. So it goes, you know the plans you have for Matt. plans to prosper him and to not harm him, plans to give him hope and a future, cause, and then here's where you put the name, Matt, to call upon you and come and pray to you and then listen to him, O Lord. Let him seek you with all his heart and find you when he does seek you. Isn't that great? Here's yes. another one. Mm. Fulfill every good purpose in Katie's life and every act prompted by her faith so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in her life. And that's out of 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12. Mm. So here's a couple more. Let Matt be careful and wise in how he lives, making the most of every opportunity and understanding your will for his life.
I can't think of anything better that a mother could give to her children than to do that. You know, read scriptures over them is amazing.
It's just praying the scripture. Thank you for beginning a good work in Katie and that you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. That's Philippians 1:6. That's a very common scripture that people know. Mm-hmm. Let Matt be glad for all you are planning for him. Let him be patient in trouble and prayerful always. Romans 12:12. You can take this book and you can do those prayers. If you need a way to pray, there's different sections for safety and health and the relationships. There's a whole section for who they're going to marry, which I love and I'm doing. And then if you need more help, there's always The Power of a Praying Mama by Stormy O'Mardian. She has a great book that a lot of people have read, The Power of Praying Parents, of Moms, of Dads. There's like a whole series of those praying books, but they're really good. Mm-hmm. I would encourage you to get my book, I Love My Mother But, because it really does help work through that mother-child relationship. And even though it's geared to daughters, you could apply every principle in that book to sons as well. It's really a book for navigating help.
And you've written one more book that I like the best. It's titled, We Need to Talk.
Yeah. And there's a chapter on parenting in there, and it goes through all the parenting problems, and it helps you deal with conflict with kids, which you really need to be good at doing so you can set your kids up to know how to deal with conflict later in their life. This is all the time that we have for today. I hope that you're going to have a very happy Mother's Day weekend. Chris and I both want to wish you that. Take your mom out if you're listening and you have a mom that you can honor. Take her out. Do something special for her. Let her know. My kids have always written me handwritten notes, and I've kept them since they were very young, and that's really special for me. Many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, and our engineer, Caleb Carpenter, our post-producer, Chris Underation. Thanks, of course, to you, Chris, my co-host, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
Do it live.
The Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.